13. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 13. And here's what the Bible says. Let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether they be good or whether they be evil. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. The most important thing. The most important thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the way you love us and for your gift of salvation, which is so rich and so free. Thank you for the strength that you give to our bodies and to our minds. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you go from heart to heart and from person to person and speak to our very hearts and open our hearts and minds to the simple truth which we're about to receive for your glory and for your honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go through life, we come to times when we prioritize our life. We set things in order. For example, an order might be our spouse is number one, our job is number two, or our income, our children are number three, our grandchildren are number four, our health may be number five, or maybe your priority is your job is number one, your spouse is number two, your grandchildren are number three, and then your children come after that. It all depends on what part of life you're in. But maybe in your prioritizing of life, your health is number one. Your spouse is number two. I don't know. But in different times of life, we prioritize things in our life. We place things in an order according to their highest importance to ourself and to the life in which we're living. This week, a loved one sent me a letter that he was sending of a letter that he was sending to some religious leaders in his area, and he asked me to read it, and I told him I would. And as I read the letter, I was struck by this one statement that he wrote, and it said, quote, "What I did know and still know is that I love the Lord with all my heart and soul and wish to serve the Lord and the Lord's people." And I thought immediately, what a wonderful statement. He had prioritized his life. And he came to the conclusion that the number one thing in his life was the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul. So that wouldn't be too bad of a way to prioritize our life, to say number one is my God and everything about my God. I think if we'll put God in the top, He'll take care of everything else that comes underneath. But we need to put Him on the top. So let's see what the Bible says about this matter. Well, the first thing we learn in verse chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. When I was in the military, it wasn't in very long, but when I was in the military, we learned some things. We learned that you always do what you're told. That's your duty. You don't question your commanding officer. You do what you're supposed to do. You do what you're told. If you're told to do push-ups, you do push-ups. If you're told to do 10 push-ups, you do 10. If you're told to do 100 of them, you do 100 of them. You do what you're told to do. That's called doing your duty. You do your duty. You don't question your duty. You do your duty. God says the whole duty of man, our whole responsibility, our whole reason for existence is to do one thing. And that's this. That we come to fear God, keep His commandments. That's our duty. By the way, when I did my duty, when you did your duty in the military, you didn't get a ribbon for doing your duty. That's what was expected of you to do. When I do my duty, that's what God's expectations for you and I are to do. But then God gives us some other things. Let me read a couple of them to you. I'm going to give you a number of verses. I'm going to read them to you. I'm going to give them to you in orders that are found in the Bible. We're going to start in the book of Deuteronomy. You don't have to turn there, but you might want to jot them down so you, one day you can go back to it. If you want to turn there, you may. I just afraid I'd go a little quick for you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5 says this: "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 12 says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I have commanded you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Then in verse 22 of the same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 22, "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him." Then in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and verse number number 3, "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet, or the dreamers of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Hey, you starting to see a theme here? Every one of these verses are talking about loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all of our soul. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 6. "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou may liveth." Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength, for this is the first commandment." Luke chapter 10, verse number 27. "And answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." If we're to look at the Word of God, then we find the most important responsibility, the most important responsibility that you and I have in our life, the most important priority that we're to have in our life is to place the Lord at the top of our priority list. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. I love the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul. I think. I love it when I read it in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Where he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." And this is the first commandment. So what can we learn? What can we practically learn from all these verses that seem to say the same thing? Well, the first thing I learned is that God's trying to get a point across. Amen? When I was raising children and I said things over and over and over again to my child, I was trying to get a point across. You know, like, clean your room. Would you clean your room? Can you pick up the things in your room? Hey, clean your room. How many times did you tell your child as they were growing up to clean their room? You're trying to get a point across, weren't you? Many times in life, we say things over and over and over again because we're trying to get a point across. I think God very intently has said to you and I that there's something He wants us to do. So what can we learn? Number one, we're to learn we are to love God. We're to love the Lord. Love is a word that we easily throw around today. We love everything. We love our computers. We love our cars. We love our tractor. We love our hay machines. We love things. We love our this, we love our that. How many times have someone said, I love something that's not even real? It's just an inanimate object, like a car, or a phone, or something. I love air conditioning. I don't know about you. I don't like to sweat a whole lot. I don't mind going outside and sweating, but when I come in and get a nice cold drink, I like to walk into that air conditioning and feel comfortable. Amen? Isn't that true? So I like air conditioning. I don't love it. I like it. But I say I love air conditioning. I love my car. It sure beats getting on a horse and riding everywhere and then having that horse give out somewhere halfway from nowhere, go lame or something. I like my car. I love my car. I love the fact I can drive down the road and air conditioning in the summertime and heat in the wintertime, get to where I'm going in a short period of time. Amen? I love the fact I can do that. But the truth is that's not love. To love an inanimate object isn't love. God wants us to love Him. What is it to love Him? Well, it's to put Him first. I love my wife. Not only do I love my wife, I tell my wife I love her. That's a good thing to do once in a while. Tell your wife you love them, fellas. Amen. I know it's not words that we use all the time, but it ought to be something you say at least once a day. You ought to look at your wife, square the eyeball to eyeball, and say, I love you. Give her a hug and give her a kiss. I know, Brother Dale, that's a difficult thing to do sometimes. But it is an important thing that we do once in a while is let our wives know we love them. It's important. They need to know that. By the way, God wants you to know He loves you, and He wants you to know that you love Him. He wants to know that you love Him. We need to tell Him we love Him. We need to spend time with Him. Well, I remember when I was dating my wife. Well, I tell you what, when you're dating folks, something just isn't straight in a man's mind. I think we lose something up here. We kind of get all foggy-eyed minded. I remember I used to talk to my wife on the phone. Hi, sweetheart. How are you? Okay, I gotta go now. You hang up. No, you hang up first. No, I'll hang. Okay, you hang up. Okay, 1, 2, 3. We hang up at the same time. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You didn't hang up. Boy, we'd go over and say, spend all sorts of time with them. We'd work hard to get out of work quickly. Then we got married. Amen? And things changed. The same sweetness seemed to disappear that we had. Why? Well, because I got married. Well, that same sweetness needs to be there. We need to love them. That's how they knew they loved us and we knew we loved them. That's how we knew we wanted to spend the rest of our lives with them. Amen? Now, you may not be all goofy-eyed like I was and say, oh, you hang up first. But I'll tell you, it's important that we let our spouses know we love them. And it's important that we love God. It's important that we put Him first. It's important that we change our life to follow His direction. So the first thing we can learn is that we're to love the Lord. Number two, we're to love Him with all our heart. We're to give the love that comes from our heart, that's a true love filled with passion and devotion to the Lord. That's what it means to love with all of our heart. It means to give true love filled with passion and devotion. To be devoted to something. To be committed to something. Something's never going to change. This is the way it is. I'm going to stay true to my Savior. I'm going to stay true to my Lord. I'm going to stay true to my God. I'm going to let folks know. Listen, I'm not ashamed to wear a wedding ring and let folks know I'm married. Why should I be ashamed to let folks know I'm a Christian? Why should I be ashamed to not carry my Bible around with me and let folks know I'm a Christian? We live in a day and age where we're ashamed of our God. We live in a day and age where it's a shame to carry your Bible to a school and let folks know you read your Bible because it's against the law now in America to bring a Bible on campus. That's wrong. Amen. We ought to let folks know that we're going to stand true to our God. I'm going to stand true to my God. I'm going to let folks know I am a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed of my Bible. I'm not ashamed that Jesus saves anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not ashamed that my God loves me. I'm not ashamed that He's prepared for me a heaven to be with Him forever and ever on streets of gold. I'm not ashamed of those things. But many Christians today don't want to talk about being a Christian very much. When we think about being a Christian, we don't think about being devoted to God. to follow his every desire, to follow, if you will, his every whim. I'm devoted. I love him. I'm probably not the best lover of God that's ever walked this earth. In fact, I know I'm not. I fail in many ways in that area. But I know this. I love him. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change from loving him. If someone walked up to me today and put a gun in my stomach and said, "You either deny Jesus Christ or I pull this trigger," I'd say, "Pull the trigger." Because I'm not going to change. Not because I'm old, but because I'm devoted. I love him. You say, "Well, preacher, that doesn't even make sense." I don't know. I've had it happen a few times in my life where folks have pulled out guns and threatened my life because of my Savior. I'm not going to let it bother me. I looked at one man one time and said, "Before you pull that trigger, think, what would happen if you pulled that trigger and that bullet went right through me?" He said, "That preacher, that Bible's not going to save your life." I said, "I know. Let's say it goes through the Bible. It goes through me, hits the tree, the bullet hits the tree behind me, ricochets off that tree, hits you and you die. Do you know where you'd go?" He said, "Well, I'd go to hell." And I said, "Well, let's change that. Let's make it so that when you pull that trigger and it goes through the Bible and it goes through my body and it ricochets off that tree and hits you and you die, that you'd go to heaven too, okay?" And I led the man to Christ. And then when he was done, he gave me his gun. Listen, there are times that we shouldn't be ashamed of our God. We shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that we are Christians. We shouldn't be ashamed of the Bible we carry. I'm devoted to him. If it means to give up my life for him, I will gladly give up my life for him. I would gladly surrender to those things of my God. So we're to love him with all of our heart. All thy heart means to fully be satisfied by trust and passion, and you trust him. To be ready to give up or do or to suffer anything in order to please or glorify him. That's what it means to love him with our whole heart. That means that we're satisfied to trust him. I'm satisfied to trust him. He has nothing but good for me. Listen, if he gave me everything in this world, it's still nothing in comparison to what he has prepared for me in heaven. Shoot, the streets are gold. That means that dirt we got outside of here and that concrete and pavement we got out there and the gravel that's all out there, that's what gold is to God in heaven. Yet we will try to get gold rings and gold jewelry and gold necklaces, and folks will kill for gold here. But it's just dirt to God. And if that's what the dirt is in heaven, how much more wonderful must the glory of splendor of heaven must be? So I'm going to serve my Lord, and we're to love him with all of our heart. Not only love him, or number one, are we to love the Lord? Number two, we're to love him with all of our heart. Number three, we're to love the Lord with all of our soul. What's that mean? What's it mean to love him with all of our soul? That means ready to give up all life for his sake, to endure all sorts of torments, and to be deprived of all sorts of comfort rather than to dishonor our God. We're a threefold being, a body, a soul, and a spirit. The part of us that comes alive when we get saved is our soul. We become alive. And that soul is going to live forever, isn't that right? So that's, my soul can't suffer any death now. It's saved. It's on its way to heaven. Your soul can't suffer any death when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's saved. It's on its way to heaven. So that soul is the part of me that really communicates with God and man. When I say, "Boy, he's got soul," that means there's something deep in that person. They've got something deep there. When I speak to God, I speak to him with my soul. When I pray, I speak to him through my soul. I speak to him. That's why my soul communicates with God. My soul communicates with man. When I pass away, my soul leaves my body and it goes to heaven. We talk about that all the time as far as Christians are concerned. My soul. So I'm to love him with all my soul. That means no matter what happens in this life, I'm going to love him regardless of how hard it might be, or how difficult it might be, or how things are up, or how things are down. Everybody goes through hard times. We talked about that in Sunday school. It rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody goes through difficulties. But let me say this. When I go through difficulties with my Savior, it's different than going through difficulties by myself. I can't imagine going through life alone. Just depending on me. Did you ever wonder why there's so many people that drink liquor to the place where they're drunk all the time? Or every time they go to celebrate something, they can't celebrate something without liquor? Do you ever wonder why there's so many young people involved with drugs? Because they're alone. There's nothing there. There's nothing to grasp them. There's nothing to go through life with them. When I go through life and there's difficulties, I go through my life with Jesus Christ. He's there to lift me up when I'm down. He's there to comfort me when I'm discomforted. He's there to encourage me when I'm discouraged. He's there to love me when I feel unlovable. He's my great God. He loves me, and I love Him, and we love Him, and I love Him with our whole soul. That's what He says we're to do, love Him with our whole soul. That means ready to give up life for His sake, to endure all sorts of torments if that's what's needed. Do you realize that there were not Christians in the past who endured torture, we wouldn't have the Bible we have today. We wouldn't have a church today. We wouldn't be here today in church. We wouldn't have the Christian faith to fall back upon. We probably would have never heard the gospel message. Did you ever think about how many times they locked up Paul the apostle? And what did Paul do? All Paul did was go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Every time he turned around, they were locking him up in some kind of prison because he's preaching the gospel to every creature. He endured those things, no matter what it was or what it took, to get the gospel out to the Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. I'm a Gentile. I don't have any Jewish heritage in me. I'm a Gentile. And the gospel came to me as a Gentile through the work of Paul. And then if you ever read the book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I forgot it for a moment. My wife reminded me. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You ought to read that. It's a great book that talks about the history of all the torments and the sufferings that Christians went through so that you and I, in the year 2014, can have the gospel message to give it out to other people, that we could have the Word of God today free so that we could hear the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. They were willing to give everything they had. Why? Because they loved the Lord with all their soul. Number one, we're to love the Lord. Number two, we're to love Him with all of our heart. Number three, we learn to love the Lord with all of our soul. Number four, to love the Lord our God with all of our strength. With all of our strength. That means the power of our body. That means within the power of our body. To love the Lord with all of our strength. Can I tell you how that helps you and me? That means when temptation comes to do wrong, I use the power and the strength of my body not to commit the sin that the devil wants me to commit. Hey, listen, everybody gets tempted. There's not a person here today that doesn't get tempted some way, shape, or form. Every day. And the only way I can overcome that is by going to the Lord, getting strength, and then making my body do the right thing. I have to sometimes make my body read the Bible. Sometimes I don't wake up and go, all right, today I get to go read the Bible. Well, I don't wake up many mornings like that. You? So then I need to go out and I got to put my body in the chair and take my Bible and pick it up and read it. And sometimes we read the Bible, but then we put it down and we don't have any idea what we read. Anybody else have that kind of problem once in a while? So, I have to force myself to go back and read it. Okay, let's go back and read it again till I get something from the Word of God. So I've got to put something there in my heart and life. I've got to force myself. It's my body. I've got to make it do what is right. So I'm not going to let my body tell me what to do. I'm going to tell my body what to do. My body oftentimes wakes up and wants to eat. I love to eat. I know I don't look like a person that loves to eat. But I love to eat. Oh, buddy, I love... You name it just about, I'll eat it. I love to eat. Sometimes I look at my belt and I say it's not a belt, it's a fence around a chicken graveyard. Amen. I just enjoy, I love a nice thick piece of steak. Whew, I love it. I love hamburger, especially grilled outside. Amen. I love cookies. My favorite cookie is chocolate chip cookies. I love to eat. I like a salad. Believe it or not, I even like salads. I like vegetables. I like food. If my body had its own way, I'd eat all the time. So I got to tell my body when it's going to eat, when it's not going to eat. So it takes my strength. And then what strength I do have, I want to use it for God rather than using it for myself. So then I need to control myself. But I can't control myself on my own. If I don't love God first, and then if I don't love God with all my heart, and if I don't love God with all my soul, I'm never going to love Him with all my strength. Because the strength doesn't come first, it comes forth. So I first have to love God so I can get my body to do the right thing. To get up and tell other people the gospel message. Listen, did you happen to think that your friend or neighbor or relative that's not saved, if you don't tell them how to be saved, they may never know how to be saved? I think the biggest heartbreak in Christianity today is when someone else has to go to your loved one and tell them how to be saved because you couldn't tell them. I felt so bad for a lady that came to me recently and said, my grandfather's dying and I need to tell him how to be saved, but I've been going to church all these years and I'm a Christian, but I don't know how to tell him. Can you teach me it before I fly to a foreign country? Could you teach me how to tell him about Jesus Christ? Because there's not going to be anybody else there to tell him. I want to tell my mama. I want to tell my brothers. I want to tell my sisters. I want to tell my children. I want to tell my grandchildren how that Jesus loves them and how He died on the cross, how He endured the suffering of the cross, how He's beat with a cat of nine tails simply because He loves us and wants to give us heaven, and how He's provided for you and I in heaven, and He's opened up the doors of heaven for you and I if we would just partake and receive this simple gift that He provides for us, the gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to teach others how to give that gift. But I can't ever get the strength to do that if I don't love God with my heart first. So I need to love Him. Then I need to love Him with my whole heart. Then I need to love Him with my whole soul. So I can love Him with my strength or my body. So my body gets to the right place. You ever wake up on a Sunday morning and not want to go to church? Yeah. But you force your body to go to church because it's Sunday. And then when you're done, you go, boy, I'm glad I went. But you forced your body to do that. Did you ever wake up in the morning and not want to go to work? Oh, yeah. But you forced your body to go to work? Well, I'm not going to be able to force my body to read my Bible. I'm not going to force my body to pray every day like I should. I'm not going to force my body to go to church like it should if I don't first love the Lord. And if I, second, don't love Him with all my heart. And third, if I don't love Him with all my soul. Because all those things come in line in order to get my body where it needs to be. And that's why He puts in there to love Him with all of our strength. So we get that strength to do the right thing, even when we don't want to do the right thing. Number five. We learn this. To love the Lord thy God with all of our mind. To love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. That's what he says in here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to apply God's word and His truth to my mind. If I don't get my body under control, I'll never get my mind under control. If I can get my mind under control, then I'll think the right kind of thoughts and do the right kind of actions. So what he's telling us is that we need to get our intellect, our thought. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So God wants our mind to be in the right place. So He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, or my intellect. In other words, he who seeks God in all things, all the time, having his mind continually fixed on the Lord, acknowledging Him in all of His ways, to bring in the thoughts to the things of God throughout the day while we work, while we play, while we labor, and do all things for the glory of God. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. I find it hard. I oftentimes want to think about what I want to think about. And sometimes after a conversation, I say to myself, oh, man, I should have stopped and thought for a moment. What would God say if He were in my shoes? How would He have behaved? Would He have said those things that I said? Would He have behaved like I'd behaved? But the reason that we don't always get there is because we don't love the Lord like we're supposed to. By loving Him with all of our heart. And loving Him with all of our soul. And loving Him with all of our strength. And loving Him with all of our body. And loving Him with all of our intellect or mind. How much, I don't want you to answer this question, but to yourself in your own heart. How much do you think about God throughout the day? Not about church, not about Christians, but about your relationship with God. How much time does He get of your mind? We have a hard time giving Him an hour once a week in church. How much of our mind time, our thinking time does He get? When you're on that tractor working in the field, how much are you thinking about God? When you're in a conversation with somebody at work, how much are you thinking about God? When you go home and you have to just talk to your child or talk to one of your grandchildren, how much are you thinking about God? When you're at home speaking to your spouse and maybe things aren't going the way you think they ought to go in some area of your life, how much are you thinking about God during that conversation? Yet the Lord tells us that the first command that He gives you and I is to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. That's a part of it. Finally, we notice that there's a thing God wants us to put in first. But there's a reason. There's a reason. We saw it in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 6. I'm going to read that verse for you quickly, and here's what it says. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou may live. What does He mean by that? We find that answer in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And I'll read those verses and I'm done. It says this. God wants us to live to life to its fullest. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, are the word of life. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you eternal life, which was the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, and declare I unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. God wants you and I to have a life that's full of joy. A life that's filled with joyfulness. Living a life of power, joy, through the hardships that this world gives us. And I can't do it on my own. And you can't do it on your own. There's only one way for you and I to do that. And that shall love, what Mark chapter 12 verse 30 says, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That this is the first commandment. So that's what He wants from you and I. So what's the most important thing? To love the Lord. It'll change our life. Father, thank You for what we've learned today. Thank You for the simple truth. Now, Holy Spirit, I